Hi, everybody. You're listening to a bonus episode of the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture podcast. And let me tell you something. This transpired in such a weird way. You know, in the month of January, I was supposed to give you a film breakdown of The Animatrix, and I will get that to you in February. And here's the thing. This show, we're going to talk about Julia Fox, who's Kanye West's new girlfriend, right? Because I'm shocked. I'm a little bit shocked. It's not often I get shocked, but I'm a little shocked at some of her artwork and the themes and the ideas that Kanye is now aligning himself with, particularly given the release of his gospel album Donda last year. But we're going to go deep into it. And I teased that this was going to be the new bonus episode on my social medias, and I'm going to fulfill that promise. However, I want to tell you something. I want to release this to the public feed because I couldn't believe it. It blew my mind. I had an anonymous source send me a message. So shout out my anonymous source. And that person said, you need to check into Julia Fox's artwork. So I did that. And I was a little bit taken aback, and I thought, wow, that's crazy. Let me throw this in with a bunch of other topics I wanted to catch everybody up on. But the more I dug into it, the more I peeled back the layers, the more I found. And there's lots of weird connections to be had here, and we're going to get into using blood as artwork and adrenochrome, and why this is all connected, or at least an idea of why it's all connected. I'll let you do with it what you desire. But I really wanted to put this on the public feed, on the free feed. So because it's a really juicy stuff, this is really interesting. So, but I told you I'd put it on the bonus feed, so here we go. Bonus only for the supporters. And you know what? Those free feed losers, maybe they're not ready for it. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's funny because I'm going to put a teaser of this on the free feed. And I, of course, joke. But that is part of, ironically, January 31st, I'm ending my No More Losers campaign. I'm letting people into the VIP section for only $2 a month for 2 months in a row for 22. And that offer, that window is closing very soon, and I figure, I mean, this is a perfect way to get people to sign up, because this is going to be a good show. So without further ado, let's talk about Julia Fox. She's quite an interesting character, and this is by no means an exhaustive deep dive on Julia Fox. This thing goes way further, I think. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for more. She's an interesting character. I didn't know anything about her till Kanye started dating her. She was in the Adam Sandler film Uncut Gems. I have not seen that, although I plan to. You know, Adam Sandler is a hit or miss guy. His movies are hit or miss. I love the movies or I hate the movies. And most of the time I hate them. But she's very much this artistic, free-spirited kind of person. She was a dominatrix in high school, apparently. She even had a wealthy old sugar daddy. She apparently overdosed on heroin. Obviously lived through it, right? Wild, wild story. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is how back in 2017, Huffington Post had an article about her artwork. And when you read it, you find out she had this installation called R.I.P. Julia Fox. And what she did was she used her own blood to paint on silk. And there's various depictions. I'll throw all the photos on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. Link in the show notes. And you'll see various imagery depicting a woman, which I presume is her, dead in a variety of very macabre poses, like decapitated heads and, you know, hanging and all this stuff. It's crazy. They ask her, this Jill D. Donato asks, Julia Fox says, Okay, so Jill says this. Says, some of your paintings in the show utilize blood on silk. Is this your blood? And if so, describe the process of exsanguination. I can't pronounce it. Exsanguination. Which I believe was the name of a Lil Uzi Vert song, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow, Julia Fox says, yes, it's my blood. I wanted the show to be as authentic and personal as possible. I extracted the blood with a syringe and used the syringe to paint on the silk. It wasn't as bad as it seems. Now, of course, that piques my interest, right? Marina Abramovic, the darling of the QAnon movement, right? She is this avant-garde artist. I've talked about her many times in the past. She talks about how she's like an alien and comes from starseed planets. Like, by the way, Kanye West said the same thing. He said he's an alien starseed. And Marina Abramovic did a similar thing. You remember the spirit cooking scandal, which she would invite all these elites of all kinds to spirit cooking events where they would put on art installations where they would be eating human beings. Cannibalistic, if you will. And she also did art exhibits where she would use her blood to paint on the walls. And we talked in the past about how this is a very occult idea. Aleister Crowley created a Gnostic mass using the cakes of light, is what he called it. And utilized human bodily fluids because they believe there's energy involved in the human body, right? That's a key theme to put in the back of your mind for this show. Well, Crowley's cakes of light, they used blood and semen. And I've heard magicians say that semen attracts demonic spirits. If you listen to the show I did on Tinfoil Hat, I had a lively discussion or debate with Alex Kazemi. That's a guy who wrote a pop occult magic book, which was promoted by Madonna and so on, which, by the way, Madonna also been, she's also been hanging out with Kanye West and Julia Fox recently, if you've noticed that. But Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law, which was his religious doctrine, his sort of version of the Bible, it was for his religion called Thelema, that this disembodied entity named Awas dictated him the words for this book. You see that oftentimes in these occult practices. Similar to Joseph Smith's Moroni disembodied spirit, angel, whatever you want to call these things, leading him to the doctrine of the Mormon faith. That is how Aleister Crowley's faith was started as well, making contact with these entities. And if you read from the Book of the Law, it says the best blood is of the moon monthly, referring to a menstruation of a woman, which we're going to come back to that in the end. So the best blood is of the moon monthly, then the fresh blood of a child or dropping from the host of heaven, then of enemies, then of the priest or of the worshipers, last of some beast, no matter what. So he goes down this hierarchy of the energy and the blood, like the child has the purest blood. That's what the Aztecs used back in the day for their sacrifices. That was the purest blood, symbolized by the green jade jewel. And you can read, ironically, you can read about all that in my first book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Illusion 1. Because there's this weird connection to be had with aliens and blood sacrifice and adrenochrome and all this crazy stuff. Do I know how it all fits together yet? No. But it fits together, I'm telling you. Now, if you read supporters or apologetics of Aleister Crowley, they will say, well, he's not talking about literally the blood of a child. I don't know. It says the fresh blood of a child. I don't know how you read. Was he joking? He a big comedian, that old Aleister Crowley? I guess so. But, you know, I'm not a Thelemite. I don't know what that means. Now, Marina Abramović, we're not done picking on her yet. Do you remember last year we did a show talking about how she plugged in with Bill Gates? Another one of these nerds is going to kill us, right? They did an art installation called The Life, and it was transhuman. Said, for Abramović, technology presents an opportunity to immortalize her spirit, something she has been trying to achieve through her work. Quote, the fact that the project can be repeated anywhere in the world while I'm not there is mind-blowing. I can be present in any spot on the planet. That's what Marina Abramović said about this, because that's the end game, is the digital matrix, the metaverse, as they're calling it now. And oh, by the way, Bill Gates has been co-opting the metaverse. He said in the news recently, we're all going to have metaverse meetings. In 3 years, we're all going to be in the metaverse for all meetings. And let me tell you, working a dreaded day job, that sounds great. I'll take it. But yeah, she's pushing the idea of becoming immortal through technology, through the nerds. And again, put this in the back pocket, because we're going to come back to the idea of the Philosopher's Stone or immortality, which is the end game for all of these occultists. So we've got all these weird ideas together: aliens, blood, energy, immortality. So back to this interview. They asked Julia Fox about how she is toying with the death drive, because the artwork is, of course, showing dead people, her dead. And this is, again, you tie into the ideas of the Illuminati and the occult, and they studied how the mind works, and they think they have different models for how the mind works. And using Freud's idea of the mortito, he would say that the human body has a libido, which is a sexual energy for a creative force. And then there's also a mortito, which is a death drive. Like, all cells are programmed to die. And she said, I guess I've always been fascinated with death. I have had a few near-death experiences. In one particular instance, I saw the infamous tunnel of light and felt my spirit elevate from my human body and shoot into space. I guess I've always wondered where I was going. I've always been curious, subconsciously putting myself in dangerous situations, perhaps because I would like to revisit that place. And she could be referring to how she overdosed as a teenager. But there's this idea of the subconscious and the mortito and the death drive, and she connects all these things together. And the last point from that interview worth discussing, they ask her this. They say, rituals help manage unsayable emotions. Explain the role of rituals in your work. She says, I was exploring death in all forms, one of them being sacrificial. Death is an offering to the great creator. Now let's pause for a minute, okay? The grand creator, the great creator, that's the term she uses. That's a Freemasonic term. She didn't say God, because you recall the Abrahamic God, at least in the Christian faith, no longer needs the sacrifices. That was the whole deal. He gave us Jesus Christ and was like, okay, quit sacrificing things. You're good now. Death is an offering to the grand creator. She says great creator, but grand creator. The great creator, that's a Freemasonic idea. Energy can only be transferred. It can never die. Which, if you recall, Will I Am from Black Eyed Peas was talking about this several years ago. Energy Never Dies, END, that was the name of his albums. And he's super into the transhuman thing. I don't know if you know that. He was pushing it hard back when he was popular. Julie says, during the sacrifice, the host died, but its energy lives on, possibly in another realm, unbeknownst to us. But one day we will all go there. That's the one thing we have in common. We are all going to die one day. Now, if you look at Marina Abramovich and Bill Gates and the metaverse nerds, they would argue against that. They would say, we don't have to die someday. We can work around this problem. It's like anything else in science. We can fix it. Now, science ain't working out so well all the time, is it? But the idea of ritualistic sacrifice is not foreign to Julia Fox. It's not uncommon to the Illuminati at all. It's about transferring energy to another realm. And again, Use Your Illusion 1, we talked about this. Because I threw out the crazy theory, the idea, and I admit it sounds crazy. Could it be, give it 10 years, of course, they got to introduce the idea of aliens, create a spirituality around aliens, get us to worship the aliens, then we give the blood sacrifice to the aliens. We're going back in time to the pagan ways. That's what they've always wanted this whole time, and that's what they're going to give us. The way of the future is the way of the past. Now, and I'll post some images here. You'd be surprised. So if you look at, they posted some of her artwork, which has the blood on the silk. But if you look closer, they don't show all the artwork, okay? If you zoom in, which I did, of course, you can see she's holding this dead animal. That's your blood sacrifice. She's nude. Very appalling. She's next to a fire. She's jumping through the fire, which is something that witches do. You see pagans and witches jumping through bonfires on the holiday of Beltane, which is one of the three holidays in the Church of Satan. And also seen on Wicker Man. So they're doing Wicker Man, and when the officer shows up to Lord... I can't believe I spaced the name. This is my favorite. Anyway, Christopher Lee's character. You'll see the women are out jumping the bonfire nude. Because it's a fertility holiday to the sun. And the witches communicate with the spirit world during Beltane because it's like Samhain or Halloween. The veil is the thinnest, they believe, and energies can transfer. The fire is supposed to awaken the passions and fan the flames of fertility and luck and happiness and all this stuff, right? Now, more recently, Interview Magazine caught up with Julia Fox after it went public that her and Kanye, or Ye, went public. And they were hanging out with Floyd Mayweather and Madonna, right? Some interesting bits from that interview. They asked what she was up to the previous night, and this is what she said. Listen to this. I didn't really know what was going on. I was just given an address, and it was to this enormous futuristic warehouse in downtown LA. We went inside through this tunnel into a huge room with dim lights. Ye loves to play with light and darkness. And where have you heard that before? You've heard it because we talk about it all the time. We talk about the idea of the reconciliation of opposites, right? And the idea that balancing the opposing forces. This is the Baphomet, right? That's what the goat represents. The goat with the breast. It's the male and the female, the solvent coagula, which means to separate and join. It's an alchemical process. When she says Ye likes to play with light and dark, that's, I believe, a coded language, right? And to stick with like the Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud idea, Carl Jung was always flirting with this idea too, as did Crowley, because Crowley, he wanted his followers to explore the dark side and understand that evil is not to be feared, right? You're supposed to dabble with the good and the bad, the light and the dark. Crowley said this, "The true magic of Horus requires passionate union of opposites." And Horus, of course, the new age, the aeon of Horus that Aleister Crowley was supposed to usher in. So is Kanye just promoting the aeon of Horus? I would argue yes. I've always been on the fence about Kanye, but now that I see who he's dating, I'm like, okay, I got to call him out. I'm always back and forth with Kanye. In fact, I posted this on my Instagram, and maybe you saw it. I'm reading Michael Hoffman's book, Secret Societies, which is a really good book. It's an oldie, but a goodie. And this is, I mean, this is the 2001 version. And he talks about satanic influences and how it's not going to look like these butt rock bands with their pentagrams and devil horns. This is what he says, and I'm going to read right from the book. It says, "The deadliest occultist is seldom garbed in such trappings, but rather presents himself in the latest style and fashions of the wealthy, powerful, and respected elite." Is that not Kanye West? Wealthy, powerful, respected elites. He's always hanging out with these folks. Fashion, high fashion. That's what he's all about. Now, things get even weirder, because when she's describing this big warehouse party or whatever, listen to who was there. Dave Chappelle. Say it ain't so. Not Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle, Marilyn Manson, Naomi Campbell, the actor from the new Batman. That's what it said in the article. Cameron, Jack Donahue from Salem, Andrew Richardson from Richardson Magazine, Richie Shazam, all my friends came. Oh, this is her response, sorry. That's why she says the actor from the new Batman. Richie ate sashimi with Marilyn Manson, and they had a really nice heart-to-heart. So we've got a guy from the church, an honorary priest in the Church of Satan, an open Satanist, Marilyn Manson. We've got Naomi Campbell, who was an Epstein buddy going to Lolita Island all the time, which again ties us into this Marina Abramovich supposed theory. This dude from Salem, I looked it up, right? I thought that was a TV show or something. I didn't really know. Turns out it's a band, and they do this genre of music. This is according to Wikipedia, right? They do a genre of music called Witch House, referring to house music, which I immediately was like gravitated towards, right? And what's really weird, let me read you what Wikipedia says about it. It says, "The Witch House visual aesthetic includes occult, witchcraft, shamanism, terror and horror-inspired artworks, collages, and photographs, as well as significant use of hidden messages and typographic elements, such as Unicode symbols. Witch House is also heavily influenced by 1980s ethereal wave bands, such as Cocktail Twins, as well as being heavily influenced by certain industrial and experimental bands such as Psychic TV and Coil." Now, what was interesting, I looked on last Friday, January, was it 21st, I looked up the band on my Amazon Music, Salem, found it and played it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I actually dig that kind of music, right? Don't ask. You know, anyway, so I'm listening to it, and then Monday I go to start the music again, and it's gone. It's completely gone. I even tried spelling it the other way with S4LEM. None of them. Now I eventually found it, but it was weird because it wasn't on the same search result I found 2 days prior. So what the hell's going on? It's very strange. Now, if you caught that description of Witch House music, you heard the bands Psychic TV and Coil, which ties us in to an old friend of our show, the late Genesis P. Ulrich. Genesis and I had various conversations over the years. I plan on doing a show about it someday. I didn't want to, obviously, Genesis died just, you know, what, a year, 2 years ago? So I'm not trying to, like, what do you call it? I don't know, take advantage of that in some weird way. We weren't, like, friends per se, but we got along very well. We talked several times. I didn't believe it was Genesis when Genesis hit me up. I was like, no way, this isn't the Genesis P. Ulrich. And then I said, all right, go on your Twitter and say something to me or whatever. And sure enough, there it was. Now, one idea that we discussed, I asked Genesis, because Genesis, if you don't know who that is, Genesis started the industrial rock genre with these old bands, Throbbing Gristle, Psychic TV. Genesis also very deep into the occult and ritual magic and all these things. There's a few books written about Genesis, articles everywhere. You can find out more. But Genesis is very knowledgeable on the occult and magic and all this stuff, right? Obviously, Genesis knew who Marina Abramovich was. So I asked Genesis, what's up with the spirit cooking in Marina? And this is what Genesis said. Didn't give me much, surprisingly. Genesis said, sorry, I'm getting over COVID. My throat's a mess. I keep having to pause to take a drink. Because I'm getting all riled up. This is what Genesis said. Quote, anyway, if it was a bronze, that's what Genesis called Abramovich, a bronze. Anyway, if it was a bronze saying that, she is just plagiarizing Austin Oskin Spare. I think that was just a misspelling. It's supposed to be Austin Osman Spare. And of course, Topi. Did you see some people plan to do a documentary about Topi? Okay. So I got one sentence in response, which I don't know if I believe that I was given all the information there, but Austin Osman Spare is an old-timey occultist, right? Very influential. He was doing a lot of work contacting entities and all this stuff. So Genesis pronouns are they, them, because Genesis merged the spirit of Lady J, who was his girlfriend. She died, and they were getting these sex changes to become one, gender fluid, genderless, whatever, non-binary. But then Lady J died. Genesis believed that Lady J's spirit lived inside him. Thus, they. Anyhow, Genesis claims that Marina was just snagging or plagiarizing a previous idea of working with the blood and the energy and stuff. And I dug deeper into this, and we're going to go into that at the end of the show. I'm going to tie this back into ancient aliens and the cradle of civilization and all that stuff. And Topi as well. Topi is the Temple of Psychic Youth, which Genesis started. There were various magical centers around the world, and the idea is that if everybody channeled their energy at the same time on the same nights, masturbating, using fluids and all this stuff, they could cause real changes in the world. Now, and in case you don't believe me, I'll share the screenshot of that email on the Instagram. Check it out. What blew my mind was in this photo shoot, because Interview Magazine? Yeah, Interview Magazine, this is just a couple weeks ago. They interviewed Julia Fox about her party hanging out with Kanye and Marilyn Manson and Madonna and all these people, right? Well, they put on some photos. They did a little photo shoot for that article. And again, you got to see it to believe it. I'll put it on the Instagram. There was a photo of Kanye West with a fork and knife getting ready to eat Julia Fox on the table. Spirit cooking confirmed. Spirit cooking confirmed. Now, that was where I was. I was going to do the show with that on over the weekend, and then I found even more. And like this rabbit hole just keeps getting deeper. I had to finally cut it somewhere, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's so much going on here. There were some weird updates, which means I'm sure we're going to have a lot more updates in the future. So this is going to be really interesting to watch. So stay subscribed to the show, right? Julia Fox posted photos on her Instagram story of her and Kanye West hanging out with Rick Owens and Michelle Lamy. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. It's like French, like Michelle Lamy. Anyway. I completely added a syllable. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. And I posted it on Twitter, the photo. to see if anyone knew who those people were. A little pop quiz from my listeners. Got a lot of great guesses. Ozzy Osbourne, Satan, Nancy Pelosi. But Emily got it right first. That was Michelle Lamy and Rick Owens. Now, you recall we spoke about these two, more Rick Owens, back. I did a TMZ Illuminate Confirmed show in 2021 because he had released some Converse shoes that had satanic imagery and pentagrams all over the thing, all over the ads. And I even mentioned it back then how Kanye West adored Rick Owens. He loves him. And here they are hanging out. Just to recapture what I was talking about, Rick Owens did a song called Mona Lisa. And the lyrics included the term, it said this, said, "Black magic, F-boy teen, tired, got her clean, be at the ready for quarantine, guillotine flosses, enough of that, necromantic savage, useless power, damage, wasted aesthetic emotion, supernatural distortion." And I was just saying, this guy's got a lot of weird stuff going on here. And I'm no expert on Rick Owens or Michelle Lamy. I think there's a ton going on there. It certainly calls for a deeper dive into these two. They're very strange looking. I know that much. And Rick's middle name is Saturn. It's literally Saturn. It's Saturnino. His middle name is Saturn. And his Michelle Lamy is his partner or his muse. They say it all the time. That's her, his muse. Like he channels spirits through her or something. She looks like this, a witch, a vampire, and a gypsy got into a blender, right? I read this article on Michelle Lamy, and it says this. It says, "As a sorceress, Michelle looks at the occult as part of our humanity. She has a collection of voodoo masks and pieces of anthropological artifacts that she finds alluring. She dresses as a goddess, a shaman, and when asked if she ever subscribes to any superstitions, cults, pagans, occult, or voodoo, she answered, quote, 'Belief is a way to express a memory of your genes.'" So I thought, okay, we're done. That's a lot. That's a lot to talk about. And then, today, Charlie XCX, another singer, right? She posted this insane sequence on her Instagram stories, which I grabbed for you. And I'll put these on the photos for the show. And it included Eyes Wide Shut, which I've talked about that for 6 episodes. And I tied it directly to Kubrick, who was underlining passages in an occult book about using kids in sacrificial rituals. You got to listen to those 6 episodes. That'll blow your mind. So here Charlie XCX says, her caption, I got to get the caption. Hang on. I thought I had that written down. I don't have it written down. You're going to have to stand by for just 1 second. The caption, it said, and I quote, and I stall, said, "Tip for new artists, follow the leader." And you see a big sword, like a sacrificial dagger of sorts, right? You see a portal going into the ground. You see a kid with a pentagram made in her hair. And you see a magic circle. You see the circle from Eyes Wide Shut. And then you see a fork and a knife stabbing into a human being's flesh with no doubt. Then a labyrinth like you see on The Shining. What is going on? And she kind of called out the industry. She said, "Tip for new artists, follow the leader." What does she know? She knows something. There's something weird going on in these groups, and there's people trying to expose it left and right. So in conclusion, right? What's Kanye West doing with Julia Fox, right? I mean, she ain't ugly, so I mean, hey, I'm not hating. But what kind of influence is this chick gonna have on Kanye West? Will he turn from his previous gospel roots and Christian pursuits. You know, Jesus Walks and Donda. Between Jesus Walks and Donda, he had a lot of dark stuff going on. And then it seemed like he had this awakening. Then they threw Kim Kardashian in the bathtub and threatened her with the Illuminati ritual sacrifice through the bathtub. Or is he rejecting God now? His marriage didn't work out, and now he's mad, and he's going to go to these devil worshipers. You know, he did his concert in Chicago, and he had apparently a gangster's disciple, like real gang dude there or something. And I think DaBaby was there. DaBaby shot and killed a dude. I mean, in self-defense, right? And Marilyn Manson. And now he's hanging out with Julia Fox and Rick Owens, who's doing the Satanic Converse shoes. And Julia Fox is doing the blood, artwork, spirit cooking stuff. He's participating in spirit cooking photos. Is she evil? Is Julia Fox evil just because she's doing art with blood? I don't know. The occultists seem to be very much, they embrace these pagan roots and this old time pagan religion going all the way back to the cradle of civilizations and Sumer and Mesopotamia and Africa with the voodoo stuff, which again, I talked about all this stuff in Use Your Illusion 1, and it wasn't something I just came up with. I read it from Tom DeLonge and Peter Lavenda's book, where they're doing alien disclosure. They're part of the disclosure movement with To the Stars Academy. There's connections to the idea of the Anunnaki that we need to talk about. These are, of course, the alien space gods of Mesopotamia. David Icke asserts that they are the shape-shifting reptilian people from the Draco constellation. Again, another massive topic. I don't want to gloss over it, but I kind of have to. And I found this really interesting, because that's my in Peter Levenda, Tom DeLonge's book, they talk about using the blood of a ritual sacrifice like they used to do back in these old religions. Bizarre, right? Why would you put that in a book about UFO disclosure? But it's because I think that's where they want to take it. You've got the idea of blood sacrifice connected to aliens, connected to alien gods, and a pantheon of pagan deities out there in the skies, right? So let's talk about the power of blood. And I found this article on ancientorigins.net. It's, you know, obviously there's like more to it than what I'll tell you about, but it gets into the idea of priestesses and these serpent cults and how the whole idea originated to use blood energy from the Sumerian Anunnaki mythology. And this ties into Ancient Aliens. That's why if you watch Ancient Aliens every episode, they're talking about this stuff. It talks about how the priestesses used to wear scarlet robes and the color, you know, the red color of scarlet is indicative of blood. And that's the source of the power. And they used to give them the title of H-O-R, whore, which comes from a Greek word, means beloved ones, or having influence on the kings. And it talks about how they didn't enter into marriage back then for life. It was like a temporary arrangement. It was only to have kings with all these different, or to have children with all these different kings and powerful men and the elites, which would secure the alliances and protection for the children. And it says, it was perhaps this attitude towards marriage that resulted in the meaning of whore becoming what we know today, W-H-O-R-E, and the association of the color scarlet being associated with sexual licentiousness and sin, as exemplified in the book The Scarlet Letter. Now, it goes into this whole discussion about the sacred marriage of these pagan deities, right? And the high priestesses would engage in a ritual reenactment of the sacred marriage between these pagan gods. And they would do this, they would time it with the spring equinox and the fertility rites and all that stuff. But what's interesting, it talks about the Anunnaki. And here, listen to this. It says, the Anunnaki were practitioners in hormonal therapy, and during battle, the soldiers would drink the blood of their fallen comrades, which provided them with a much-needed energy boost and rehydration. Ordinarily, the Anunnaki imbibed the priestess's menstrual blood, which they believed was full of nutrients and contained an essence that not only lengthened their lives, but also brought them to a higher state of consciousness. During the temple ceremonies, the priestesses would also bring themselves to arousal, causing the release of fluid emitted from the skene's gland, aka squirting. They were squirters. This, I'm just telling you how I see it. This fluid is filtered blood plasma, and so is a rich source of hormones. To achieve this, they were trained to enter a meditative state in which each of their seven flowers, chakras, blossomed, starting with the crown at the top of the head and moving down the spine until it reached the root at the base of the spine. By activating these chakras, the glands were stimulated, making the resulting fluid extremely rich and powerful. The Anunnaki were skilled scientists, and so during these rituals, they may not have drunk the substances fresh, but distilled them. And it talks about the alchemical idea of base metals turned into gold, and he said this is derived from the idea of turning iron-rich blood into a yellow-gold liquid, and so on. It says, while the idea of drinking fresh blood is repellent, it is worth noting that many of our modern medicines contain hormones, such as premarin. The proponents of the use of organs like the placenta and the injection of fresh cells, called live cell therapy in natural medicine, claim that these methods rejuvenates the recipients, re-energizing, boosting immune systems, and restoring youthful beauty, not so far removed from the Anunnaki claims. The blood used was only from the Anunnaki priestesses and their direct descendants up until the Merovingian dynasty during the Dark Ages. As the generations passed, it became too diluted and eventually was not used at all. The Dragon Court searching for other methods of achieving the same results. Almost done. We're there. We're almost done. What we have are the symbols of the Fountain of Youth, the priestess's wombs, the grail or mixing bowl, as well as the mixing of the red and white, which was the blood and semen of an Anunnaki priestess and her husband, used to create and nourish life, best expressed in the Templar cross. Because the Templar cross logo is red and white. Bizarre, right? What's the point of all this madness? Is it true? I have no idea. They seem to believe it. You see Kim Kardashian, these Kardashians and other celebrities doing, blood facials and weird stuff, vampire facials and stuff? Yeah, they're messing with this stuff. And I think the whole point is immortality, this fountain of youth. They talked about it right there in the passage. The fountain of youth coming from the priestess womb. You make her squirt and you live forever, apparently. Because these people, they want to be vain and they want to be beautiful forever. That's like, you know, and doesn't that make sense, right? Of course, they're willing to trade human life to make themselves look a little better. They're narcissists. Kanye West is like the biggest narcissist on the planet. And now he's hanging out with all these people that have these wacky occult ideas. Marilyn Manson and Julia Fox apparently is into this, and Rick Owens. And now, when I say they're into this, it's a couple degrees of separation, right? I can't prove that they're into this stuff. It sure is weird, though. I believe they're into it. I can't prove to you in a court of law. But it's very strange how they all sort of dabble in the same arena of playing with the blood and the artwork, right? Going back to Austin Osman Spare and back to the Mesopotamians, back to the Anunnaki. And that Michelle Lammy, Rick Owens' wife, or muse, or partner, or whatever, she's got face tats based upon the African Berber tribes. And Genesis P. Oridge was, the last art exhibit they did was utilizing art from West Africa. Because again, they're all into this like weird old-timey voodoo stuff. There's some voodoo history and some idea of using energy from the blood and the spirit that goes all the way back to the cradle of civilization. If you listen to David Icke and some of these other folks, it's tied into the Anunnaki and the alien gods. In conclusion, The aliens are coming to get us, and the nerds are going to make it happen. They're going to get us into the metaverse. Bill Gates wants to put your soul in there with Marina Abramovich. They want to digitize consciousness. And I would argue, look to Kanye West to push this idea now. He's a very powerful person. He's connected in with some very dark energies, I think. I guarantee his next art, his next album, his imagery is going to support a lot of these ideas. So look for that, right? All right. Whew, that was a lot, right? I want to thank you for listening to the show. I want to thank you for being a supporter. That means the world to me. You're helping me out a ton. I've got a lot of equipment I got to get for this podcast, a lot of time off of work I got to do for it. So I know it's just a couple bucks on your end, but that means the world to me because plenty of you support. Thank you. And all my tier two and higher, you people are the best. I appreciate you. Tier two and higher, you get different things, right? You get the video version of the podcast, which is me waving my hands at you. or you'll get some like books and signed books, you know, all that stuff. You know what you're doing. Thank you for being a supporter. Until next time, stay woke.